Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. If you're visiting with us, we pray a special blessing upon you as we continue to do what Jesus did. We continue to pass on his teaching, and we continue with him to eat at his table. Though, and part of our announcements this morning, of course, we will actually not be celebrating communion. You got the email that the council sent out. We are now thinking about the reality of the coronavirus and trying to be prudent and wise in relation to that, not living in fear, but also being aware of just the reality of the infrastructure of hospitals. The coronavirus does not kill most people, obviously. It does not have a massive death rate in terms of people who get it. But the reality is, in terms of just numbers, if a hospital is flooded with people suddenly, there aren't enough ventilators to go around, and then other people die who need them. So part of the reality is not wanting to spread it just because of the numbers game. So that means we're not going to do communion this morning. And if you know me, that's a big deal to me. And I'm the one who said, we probably shouldn't do communion. So, yeah. We're not going to greet each other because we really want to shake hands. It's like a human thing, like, should we? No. So we're not even going to wave at each other. God greets us, and we know we're greeting each other. We're not going to pass the plates. So the deacons are going to put the plates on the back on the way out, which is a good old Dutch Reformed way of doing it, actually. Back in the day, that used to happen. It still happens in Netherlands Reformed churches. They got a little box in the back where you put your check for the pastor. That's actually true, but no, it's okay. We're just trying to be wise and prudent here. We don't live in fear. One of the things that's a blessing about the coronavirus is we have an opportunity to love our neighbors. If we have extra goods, we can give it to them. If they are stuck at home and, you know, they're part of the percentage of people who are really threatened by this, especially underlying conditions, and they need someone to buy groceries for them, what can we do? We can get groceries for them. So this is an opportunity not to live in fear, but to be wise and prudent, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we live in the grace of that. All right, other announcements this morning. Oh, and needless to say, I will not be shaking your hands on the way out. So I'll just be kind of waving randomly. Our special offering today is still for Zestos. And we're having our women's afternoon Bible study group still meeting at Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Men's group meets the first and third Wednesday nights of the month. So this week, also meeting at 6:45 at Corkett for fellowship and discussion. And then keep in mind that the annual Youth for Christ banquet still, at this point, as far as I know, is still on for March 30th at the Convention Center. If you've got questions about that, contact Elaine Van Otterloo for details. I believe that's all for our announcements this morning. Let's take a moment, just a brief moment of silence, to prepare our hearts for worship this morning. We've come into the presence of a holy God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lift us up into the very being of Christ so that we might see the Father. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is printed in your bulletins, and I believe it's on the screen as well. If you would stand with me for our call to worship. We will work through this together, call and response. Awe-inspiring God, we gather together to praise you for your tender compassion and care of needy people. Listening, God, we gather to revere and honor your supportive concern for people who cry out to you for help. People of every nation are called together to worship God in thankfulness for God's loving mercies.
Come, all who seek the Lord God, offer your worship. Amen.
Amen. And with that coming together and gathering call to worship, we enter into our opening song, Amid the Thronging Worshipers. Singing, and God is here. He is here with us, and he greets us with these words this morning. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Having heard God's greeting, we are amazed at his awesomeness, at his love and his grace for us. And so we sing out again with all our hearts, crying out to God in the words of our hymn, Our God is an Awesome God. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Whoa. Jesus, the rock and the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. And because we know that is who God is, we can come then and confess our sins to God. We don't confess because we're afraid. We confess because we know we are loved. And so we say together our prayer of confession. It's printed in our bulletins and on the screen also. Out of the depths of despair, we cry to you, O God. We are lost in a world of pain and suffering. When we put our trust in weapons of war, we find no peace. When we put our faith in our own resources, we feel the ache of our true needs. When we put our hope in the health of our bodies, we suffer pain and find no healing. Come to us, O God. Forgive our doubts and fears. Heal our brokenness, that we may rejoice in your steadfast love. Amen. Jesus walked the long road from the Mount of Transfiguration to Calvary's Hill to bear our sins, to have his own life snuffed out so that we might find our lives, our light, blazing up to eternal life. You may be seated. Our next song is a song of assurance, Wait for the Lord. Forgiveness and healing from God. God's steadfast love has the power to redeem our brokenness and to make us whole. And he does that again this morning. Again this morning, the Holy Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one God in three persons, assures us that he loves us and that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Hear again the gospel this morning. Jesus says to you, though your sins be as scarlet, they are now white as snow. I forgive you. And in that Holy Spirit assurance that we have this morning, we have joy with the Father, joy that our sins are forgiven. And again, in the knowledge of that now, we gather our hearts together as one, and we offer our prayer before our Father in heaven, the forgiven, the redeemed, shouting with joy to God. Will you pray with me? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are aware, Lord, that there is much fear in our world right now. There's all sorts of emotions right now. And we pray, Lord, for wisdom in the coming days. We pray, Lord, for love, most of all. We pray that we would find ways to love neighbors, whether that means staying home sometimes or whether that means going out to help. We pray for wisdom. Lord, we are thankful that we do not have to be afraid because you have overcome death. You have trampled down death by death. We are thankful that Jesus is the healer of not only our souls, but also our bodies. That the resurrection is our inheritance through the power of the Spirit. And so we give thanks for that. We give thanks, Lord, even as we lift before you those who are ill around the world. You are the one who turned back the angel of the plague from the dwellings of your people in Egypt. And we ask you to hear our cry now for those who are suffering, even those who are dying in places like Italy, China and elsewhere under the visitation of this disease. We pray that you would mercifully bless the means which are used to stay the spread of it. Lord, be with our hospital workers, be with our doctors, be with all those who care for the ill. Strengthen them. Help them to comfort and to heal the afflicted. And Lord, support those who are in pain and distress. Support those who are the 3%, Lord, who are at high risk, who have caught the disease and who can barely breathe. Be with them, Lord. Restore them. Restore them. And Lord, grant them always your heavenly consolation and your saving grace. Lord, you work in mysterious ways. And so we offer our prayer that you would work even in this way. Lord, we think of those who are ill in different ways. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill with cancer. We think of Greg Schmidt. We think of Nomi Voss. We think of John and Judy's daughter, Katie. We pray for remission for them. Lord, we pray for those right now with underlying health conditions that makes their life more precarious. We think of people like Tom Bjorgi. We think of John and Judy Clockseam. We think of Glenda Hoffland. And Lord, many, many more. Keep them safe in this time, Lord. Our congregation, Lord, is older. And so there is more danger at times. But again, give us peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And give us wisdom. Lord, we pray for each of our shut-ins right now who cannot have visitors. We think of Frank Vandenbosch, Patty Ritzema, Denise Masbergen, Jan Sneller, Audrey Van Grau. Lord, these sorts of times can be fearful for them. Because, again, they are of some of the most fragile people in our society. This sort of thing can take their life. So we pray that you would give them peace, but also give them comfort, since they are locked in. They can't get out. They can't see friends and family right now. Lord, give them a special measure of grace this morning and in the coming days. Be with them. We pray, Lord, for each of your people in this church. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each. Heal them of their various brokenheartedness. Heal them of the things that seek to consume them in their lives. Heal us, Lord, not just of physical illness, but of the spiritual illnesses that plague us. Lord, we are your people. We know that you love us, and we are so grateful. We bless you for our creation, our preservation, all the blessings of this life. But most of all, we bless you for your inestimable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. We bless you using the words that Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we're going to sing our gospel hymn together. We've got a handout in your bulletin, I believe. I guess Jeremy's got it on the screen as well. Well done, Jeremy. We didn't know if we had that. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Let's sing together. story of Jesus now comes to us, comes into our very midst. God became flesh. He took on human nature so that he might sweep us up and lead us into, as 2 Peter says, as we've been learning in Sunday school, the divine nature, so that we might be free of all illness, both of body and also heart, sweeping us up into love itself. So hear now the words of love, the story of love, the story of Jesus, near to you in your very heart. From John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound of it. You can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are the teacher in Israel," literally, Jesus says. "And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Brothers and sisters, this is the good news of Jesus, the gospel of the Lord, to which we say, "Praise to you, Lord Christ." Our text this morning comes from the book of Judges as we continue our series this Lent through that wild and woolly book with all of its bizarre stories. Judges chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 32. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you did not listen to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down on the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord, Yahweh, is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied.
But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared up from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Use the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The people of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has cut down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Yerubbaal, which means "let Baal contend with him." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, come now with power. We confess as your people that you make yourself known to us in two ways, through word and sacrament. And Lord, of course, this morning we are not able to participate in the sacrament, but we are able, as always, to participate in Jesus' teaching ministry. And so we pray that this morning Jesus, by his Spirit, would be here and that he would open my mouth and speak the truth about life, love, and the light of God. Open our ears, O Holy Spirit, to hear that truth. And again, open my mouth that I might proclaim wonderful things from your law. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines irony as an incongruity, as it calls it, between a series of events and how someone perceives those events. Basically, An irony is when we think life is going one way, when in reality it's going the exact opposite way. There's a kind of disconnect. There are ironies all around in our lives. In fact, our lives abound with them. We see ironies around us on television. Some of my favorite include, you know, the people who are out protesting killing animals for meat, waving their signs in front of the packing plant. I'm picking on them. My dad sells meat, right? So he sells livestock. Waving their signs, and one should not kill animals for food. And they've got their leather boots on, right? An irony. Life goes this way, and yet they're walking this way without even realizing it, right? Ironies. Ironies abound in our lives. But none more so than the irony of God's presence in our lives. An irony that's on full display in our story this morning. Gideon is hiding. He's hiding in the wine press. The crops are ready in the fields. They are gold and brown. The wheat is full, ripe. But no one's at the threshing floor threshing it. No one's there, of course, because the Midianites have overwhelmed the land. The Midianites have come like a great plague of grasshoppers, and they eat everything in their wake. They do not till the land themselves. They do not sweat over it. They do not plant the seeds. But their sharp swords and their hungry bellies take all the produce away. They've conquered as far as Gaza, the southwestern coast. The Philistines have held them back. But Israel is overwhelmed, and they feed off of Israel, consuming the life of the people of Israel. And so the Israelites begin to hide their milk cows, hide their goats, hide their sheep up in the wilderness, up in the caves. They begin to cut down their fields of wheat, because of course the Midianites are not actually going to do that. They're going to wait till it's all done, threshed, and then take the grain for themselves. Cut down the fields of wheat and begin to thresh them in secret places, places where the Midianites won't show up, because what the Midianites can't find, they can't eat. And so Gideon has chosen a wine press, a place that he can get down inside of. The walls are up high, and no one can see what he's doing. And he's got the wheat bundled in front of him, and he's smacking it with his pitchfork, and the little grains of wheat are beginning to fall to the ground, smashing it again and again. Lifts some up with his pitchfork, throws it up in the air. The wind catches the chaff and blows it to the side while the heavier kernels fall down back into the wine press. The Israelite's sunburnt back is itching with all the little bits of chaff and sweat. He crawls out of the wine press, time for a water break, lifts the goat skin to his parched lips, wipes with the back of his hand, and hears a noise. Looks around, and there's a man sitting at the base of the old oak tree that overshadows the wine press. Gideon sucks in a breath and begins to reach for the pitchfork. A Midianite, here to take my food. But then the man's voice, a voice lilting with laughter and maybe a hint of irony. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. Gideon relaxes. This is no Midianite. Lowers the pitchfork. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. It's probably that stupid prophet who's been going around telling people, God saved us out of Egypt, but oh, you wretched people, worship the idols, and this is... Yeah, okay, that's probably who this is. Excuse me, sir, but if God was really with us, then why? And Gideon's looking around, and he's pointing to the wine press, where he's just spent the last several hours threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. Why is all this happening? I mean, we've all heard the stories. Yeah, we've heard it from people like you. The Lord saved Israel out of Egypt.
Yeah, we know, yeah. But where are the wonders now? I don't see any Red Sea splitting. I don't see the Midianites struck down. I just see us barely surviving, starving to death. You say God is with us.
The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior.
No, he's not. Gideon's logic actually makes a little bit of sense if you think about it, right? We've all read the Bible stories. We've all heard the stories of God splitting the Red Sea, holding back the mouths of lions, raising people from the dead. God with his people. God was with his people. Amazing stories. God working through Moses, the Holy Spirit there with Daniel in that dark lion's den, the Son of God himself crying out, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead man shuffling out of the tomb. Astounding deeds. God was with his people. Ah, but was. That's the key word. God was with his people. Past tense. Because if we're really honest, sometimes it really doesn't feel like God is with us. Life can be hard, right? There are Midianites in our lives that overwhelm us, that consume all of who we are, that come like a plague of grasshoppers, eating up and tearing down the very things that are vital to our existence. Some of these plagues are from without, right? They keep us up at night, consuming us. We lay awake thinking of the Son who has told us of his disdain for the Christian faith. We lay awake at night worried about the job that we just got laid off from because of the coronavirus. We lay awake at night reeling from the diagnosis. Where is God? We've heard the stories, but where is he? The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. No, he's not. No, he's not. I'm sure there's plenty of people in Italy right now that are going, no, no. Plenty of Christians in Italy that are feeling like, yeah, it doesn't really feel like God's with us right now. Or maybe those Midianite parts of who we are that overwhelm our lives from within. The realities that we are responsible for. Yes, that also keep us up at night. The thoughts of how we blew $300 for a night out and now we can't pay the electric bill. The thought of how we were busy telling our group of friends about our son-in-law who blew $300 for a night out and now can't pay the electric bill. The remembrance of Thanksgiving dinner when we told our mother she could go to hell because of her politics. The remembrance of Thanksgiving dinner where we told our daughter she could go to hell because of her politics. And these things eat away at us. These failures within who we are, these Midianite realities. And so we're hiding. We're hiding in the wine press. We're paralyzed with fear. Better not to mess with the Midianites. Just try to survive. Just do what you can. But let's not deal with the Midianites. Let's hide our milk cows in the cave. Let's go into the wine press and just kind of survive. Just kind of survive. Don't worry about it. Just try to survive. And so we're threshing the wheat and throwing it up in the air, and the chaff is blowing to the side, and the grain kernels are falling down on us. And we're crawling out of the wine press and taking a sip of water, and then we're hearing that lilting voice. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. Maybe a hint of irony in the voice. No, he's not. He's not. Why would all this happen to us? He's not with us. He's gone. Irony. Gideon's story, our story, is full of irony. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. No, he's not. Well, actually, yes, he is. Verse 14 lets the penny drop. And the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? From verse 14 on, we learn that the man sitting under the oak tree is not just a man. He is the angel of the Lord. And as a little side note, 99.9% of the time when you hear the phrase angel of the Lord, that is referring specifically to God himself come down among his people. It's not an ordinary angel. It's God come down to walk and talk with his people. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. No, he's not. Well, actually, he is. He's sitting right there, right beside you, Gideon. He's literally there. The Lord himself is there. Irony. No, he's not. Well, actually, he is. God is right there with you, Gideon, right in the midst of the Midianite plague. He's right there. And Gideon, starting to recognize that maybe this person isn't quite who he thinks it is, but still not quite sure that God is really here in the midst of this, because this doesn't sound right. Yeah, okay, but this doesn't sound like what God would command, because after all, I'm from the tribe of Manasseh, and my family's clan in Manasseh, we're like, you know, we're way down here. I don't know anybody. I mean, I couldn't. And on top of it, I'm the runt in the family, so, I mean, you can ask anybody, but this is the wrong person to be talking to, you know? Better not to even mess with the Midianites. I'll just kind of hang out over here. Just hang out threshing the wheat. Again, the voice from the man under the tree, from the man who is God himself, from Christ to Gideon, I will be with you. It can be translated both ways. I am with you, or I will be with you. You're going to knock down Midian in one fell swoop. And still, Gideon's getting more and more excited. Okay, maybe this is it. But he needs a sign. Proof. If you are who you really say you are, give me a sign that you are really with your people. I'll be right back. Be right back, and I'll bring you a mincha. I'll bring you an offering. Go, says the angel of the Lord, says the Lord himself. So Gideon goes. He kills the animal. He boils it, makes the broth, brings out his unleavened bread, places them there before the angel. And the angel of the Lord touches them, and the fire of God comes down upon that holy meal. Holy Spirit fire. And in an instant, the Christ is gone. And in that moment of bread breaking, Gideon realizes who has been with him all along. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. No, he's not. Yes, he is. He's right there. Right there with the people. I have seen the angel of the Lord. I'm going to die. No, you're not. Irony. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. No, he's not. Yes, he is. He's actually right there under the tree beside you. Many times in our lives, we are hiding from the Midianite parts of ourselves, the Midianite realities around us that seek to overwhelm us. We're hiding. We're not going to deal with them. And so we're just flinging the grain up in the air, threshing, hiding, and we hear the voice of God. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. No, he's not. Well, actually, I am with you. I'm right here under the tree, right beside you, right in the midst of your life that is overrun in so many ways.
I'm right with you in the layoff. I'm right with you in that moment of listening to your son disdain the Christian faith. I am right with you in the midst of sickness and sorrow. I'm right there under the tree. And yes, I'm also right with you in your moments of pure stupidity. $300, $400 on a night out, and now you can't pay your electric bill. Right with you as your tongue burns down your son-in-law. Right with you at the sharp words at Thanksgiving dinner. I am with you. We doubt the presence of God in our lives because we look around us and we go, life isn't always very easy, so God can't be here because things are only easy when God is around. We have experiences like this all the time. I've told you before about my experience before I came here 4 years ago, my experiences in grad school, how they were just like one sort of tumbling Midianite attack after another. Like, I got my degree done, and I'm applying to all these places to work, and I'm getting interviews, but nothing is falling into place. Like, literally, bizarrely, nothing is falling into place. To the point where I'm going, yeah, God's not around. I don't know what he's doing, but he sure isn't paying attention in my life. The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior Nevada. Not really. No. Why would all this be happening to me if you were here, O God? And yet, he's right there under the tree in my life. I'm right here. And now it's time to get up and go. Got a task for you to do. Get up. Go with the strength that you have and serve the Lord. I'm here. You know, sometimes our conviction that God is not present with us gives us an excuse not to deal with the Midianites in our lives. Oh, God's not here, so I don't even have to, I'm not going to worry about, who's going to deal with, let's just hide from the Midianites. Hide from the circumstances that overwhelm us. Hide from the sins that overwhelm and consume us, not deal with it. I'm going to thresh wheat down here. It can become an excuse. And yet God is there. I'm right here under the tree. I am with you. So now it's time to get to work. Have I not sent you? The Lord turns to Gideon. Go out in the strength that you have. Save Israel from the hand of Midian. Notice, in the strength that you have. It's a wonderful little phrase. You don't have much strength, Gideon. That's fine. You're a runt, whatever. But just go with what you have. Go right now and fight. Go cut down your father's Baal image and the Asherah pole beside it. Do it at night. I don't care if you're terrified, whatever. But go, begin the battle against the sins in who you are. Begin the life lived in faith against the overwhelming reality of the Midianites around you. It's not going to be easy. In fact, sometimes it's still hard. We still doubt. Gideon, of course, in the coming pages of the story, continually is asking for more and more and more signs. The first sign was not enough. The first sign of a holy meal, where the Holy Spirit comes down in fire and lifts Gideon's mind to the presence of God. I am with you. A holy meal like the one we were going to celebrate today, but we can't celebrate today. But he needs more signs. I'm going to throw out this little sheepskin on the ground. Can you put dew only on the sheepskin? Ah, wow, look, water on the sheepskin, but not around. Okay, this time I'm going to put the sheepskin down, but put water around the sheepskin, right? I need another sign. Are you really with me? I don't know. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I don't know. And yet God keeps using him in the strength that he has, keeps pressing him into service. So brothers and sisters, as you go about your life, remember the Lord is with you, even when it doesn't seem like it. When it seems like the Midianite realities around you are overwhelming you, the Midianite realities within you are overwhelming you, Christ is with you. He's right there under the tree. The Lord is with you. And ironically, we're like, no, he's not. Yes, he is. He's right there. He's right there with you. And so now it's time to fight. It's time to put to death the Midianite realities within yourself. It's time, in the grace of God, to confront your fears. Christ is with you. Christ is with you. He gives you signs like the Lord's Supper. He tells you again and again, I am with you, I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the good news of the gospel. A good news then that you can live into and not cower in fear in the winepress, but instead, with what strength you have, I don't have a lot, it's okay, go out and fight the good fight of faith. Grasp hold of eternal life to which you are called, because Jesus is with you, right beside you, sitting under the oak tree, and he's calling you to service. And that is good news. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sisters and brothers, in the joy of that good news, would you stand for our parting blessing? Remember, God is with you no matter what your life feels like. No matter how much you are convinced that the Midianites are there like a locust plague eating up everything, whether it's stuff outside of you happening or stuff within you happening, Christ is with you. The Lord is right there. Live into the irony in Lent. Recognize the irony in Lent. No, he's not. He's not here. Life is rough. Yeah, it's rough, but he's right there under the tree. And so join in his battle against the Midianites. Receive now the parting blessing of our God. Go out in his fullness, in his grace, in his strength, courage, and power. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen.